The Lansing Symphony Orchestra closes out its season this Friday at Wharton Center. Current State's Melissa Benmark joins me now with more. Hi, Melissa.
Hey, Mark. It's always fun to chat with LSO conductor Timothy Muffet. One more chat before summer. This is their year-ending concert, and quite a concert. It features music from Stravinsky's Firebird and pieces by Ravel and Rossini. And it also features a new piece for piano and orchestra that area audiences, much less the world, has not heard yet.
It's really exciting. This will be the world premiere of this work of Robert Aldridge, and he's one of our important American composers. He won the Grammy in 2012 for Best Classical Composition, and so it's very exciting that we will be giving a premiere of a major work of his. This is a full-length concerto, a set of variations. And Melissa Morris is a very exciting pianist I've worked with before. She's based in Houston, Texas. And really an extraordinary musician. And we're excited to have her on board and looking forward to sharing this piece. I think it's called Variations on a Folk Tune. That's the title the composer gave it. And it's actually an original folk tune, which is a tradition in the world of classical music where a composer decides to write his own piece and call it a folk tune.
Oh, okay.
But it's essentially pentatonic with a few color tones mixed in there. So it has kind of a folksy quality to it. And then it goes through a series of incredibly diverse variations, ranging from a little bit of a Latin feel to a little jazzy feel, maybe even a little rock and roll mixed in, but then definitely 21st century concert music as well. I think the audience is going to really eat this up, actually. It's immediately appealing.
I'm not familiar with Aldridge's American, British?
Yeah, he's an American composer.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay. So, well, and the pentatonic scale is the blues scale, too.
Right,
so.
Yes. Well, it's funny, it doesn't so... those elements show up a little bit later down, fairly early in the journey on the work. We get into some of the influences of American popular music and a little bit of a Latin feel, and then it really comes back kind of into a more just contemporary classical idiom.
So the two shorter works couldn't be more different from each other. The William Tell Overture, which most people will know as the Lone Ranger.
Of course.
Well, is that true anymore, though? I mean, that was my dad's era.
That was my era. Thank you. And
oh dear.
No, that's all right.
Sorry.
No.
You did not listen to the Lone Ranger on the radio.
Not on the radio. No, okay. But it was on television in black and white. All right.
That's different.
Yeah. It is, it is such a fantastic piece of music. There's no question that not only Lone Ranger, but also Looney Tunes used it immensely, the introduction. There are a series of distinct sections to this overture. There's three blockbusters on this program, and that's one of them, and we know the audience is going to love it, but at the same time, it's extraordinary music. It's really a great, great overture.
Pavane for a Dead Princess, does that start the second half?
It does. Ravel and Stravinsky's also on the second half, and I think Ravel and Stravinsky pairings are very nice, just because Stravinsky took so much from Ravel in developing his own language, and there's a very strong connection between Ravel's style in this Pavane and Stravinsky's style in the Firebird.
I understand that Firebird was Stravinsky's sort of breakthrough piece.
Right.
He wasn't really going to be writing that, and then the guy who was doing the ballet decided that he was going to bring Stravinsky in. It's a Russian folktale, or based on a Russian folktale, about a glowing bird that I understand can be both a blessing and a curse to its owner. Is that also true of conductors? Can the Firebird suite be a blessing and curse?
Oh, it's all blessing. I mean, of course it's challenging. All music is challenging. But Firebird is such a beautifully inspired work, and it's just always satisfying to study, it's satisfying to rehearse, it's satisfying to perform, and then when an audience hears it live and you feel that energy come out the audience, it's very satisfying to share with people.
A lot of this ballet music in a suite, in an orchestral suite, and haven't really experienced it in, you know, having seen the ballet itself. I mean, do you find conducting it that it feels danceable to you?
Oh, very much so. I've conducted a fair amount of ballet in my career, and so I kind of, I'm geared to think that way. And I definitely think of this piece in terms of dance, even if we're performing it in concert. The variation movement, for example, you know, really try to create that feeling of almost a fast waltz to it. So that there are strong emphasis on strong beats, and then a sort of a lift and lightness on the lesser beats, and to try to make sure that it always has that groove and swing that you can dance to.
Well, just quickly, this is the last Lansing Symphony concert of the year, I believe.
Hard to believe, yes, it is.
What does your summer look like before you come back?
Well, the summer for me is like it has been for the last 19 years. I'll go to Western New York to the Chautauqua Institution, where I conduct an orchestra there, and some of my Lansing Symphony colleagues will be there as well. Richard Sherman, Jan Eberle, I'll see over there. It's a full and busy summer, but it's a very rewarding summer as well.
Timothy Muffet, thank you very much for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
For Current State, I'm Melissa Benmark.
And a reminder, WKAR's Jody Knoll will host a preview conversation prior to Friday night's LSO concert. His guest is soloist Melissa Marse, and the talk begins at 7:15 in the Jackson National Lounge at Wharton Center.